2:16.
Some troubled souls.
I thoroughly enjoyed the singing tonight and still thinking about the singing that we had on Sunday and the service that we had on Sunday. And I thank the Lord for that. And as I've been studying this week in preparation for tonight, I can sincerely say with what I would say that I want to be closer to the Lord tonight than I was when I got here. When we really slow down and really try to focus on what all the Lord has done for us, not just physically, but spiritually, temporarily, the life that we have here, but then also eternally, the life that we have over there, that should make us want to get closer to Him. That should make us want to love Him just a little bit more. If you will, let's be turning to 1 John chapter number 3. I want to go through 5 verses tonight, Lord willing, verses 4 through 8. And I've been a part of studies before where you kind of go from one to the next. You want to get as much as you can out of a study and be careful not to follow somebody else's study too much. We'll begin talking about commentaries and things, but it is so important that we hear from God ourselves when we study, what He wants us to gain from it, what He has for us. And you know, you could study this tonight, and in 5 years down the road, you could study it again and get something else. So remember, think about this, not that it wouldn't necessarily be contextually wrong, but when a commentary was written, when somebody studied it out, it was probably based on what was going on in their lives at that time. So that was probably, to a degree, more tailored to them, maybe, their experience at the time, than what it might be for you if you were reading it and you were studying and going through it. It's one of the things I've really tried to do with this study here is make it personal. When we look at God's Word, we are to look at ourselves compared to it. We're to look at ourselves in it also. Where do we fit in? Where does Jason fit in this picture? What does the Lord have for me? And it's important that every one of us do that as we study. That's the only way we're going to grow. We're not at anybody else's pace. We're not at anybody else's leg in the race. I mean, we might cross paths and we might run parallel, but the Lord has something for every single one of us. And I don't want to miss out on what the Lord has for me on this side of eternity. Simply because I'm saved, I won't miss out over there. That's secured. That's taken care of. But you know, the life that God has given to us here, I believe wholeheartedly we should make the absolute most of it that we can. Live it to the fullest that the Lord would have us to, based off of what He wants for us. I want what the Lord wants for me. I want what the Lord wants for you and for our church. And so as we see this tonight, it's just a few verses, but there was so much to it. A lot of times I try to block it off based off of kind of how my Bible has it laid out, but there's about 18 verses laid out, and that was way too much to try to do for one service. But tonight I want to preach for a few minutes on the topic of conditioning of the flesh. Conditioning of the flesh. That's a kind of a different topic, maybe, but you know, the way I was looking at this study is I was saved when I was 12 years old. I had a long enough time before salvation that my flesh, me, I was able to pick up bad habits from the time I was born to the time I was saved. So when you look at it that way, you think about how trying that can be to overcome after salvation. Anybody have any battles after they were saved? Anybody at all? All right, so the very act, the very fact that we're saved doesn't mean the trials stop. They continue. But I'm afraid sometimes, and again, really taking to heart some of the things that were said on Sunday, and I think it kind of leads right along with this. If we're not careful, we will let the conditioning of the flesh during the time that a person was lost hang over into the time that a person is saved. And what do you mean by that? That sounds confusing. What do you mean? Well, you know, if you get into some bad habits, a lot of those habits don't stop immediately. Sometimes those habits are hard to break. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I read here, I looked it up, and you know, it can take anywhere between 18 and 254 days to break a habit. That's a long time. So if we're not careful and we don't contain the flesh early on in our Christian lives, we're going to have a battle the rest of our lives. It's going to be a battle anyway, but I'm telling you, we have an active part in this. When you're talking about the spiritual side of life and you're talking about the physical side of life, there's a lot for us to consider. And why Jesus had to die for us, why him? There's a lot of moving parts to this, but I'm going to try to keep it as simple as I possibly can. As we go through the study tonight, I want you to look at a few things. You have God, who is a spirit. You have Jesus, who is God, spirit, and man in the flesh. And then you have man, who, that's us, man. We're unregenerate based off of Adam, the second or the first Adam, what we inherited from him. Again, we are three-thirds being or a two-thirds being. We're lacking the spirit until we accept Christ. So you have God, who is a spirit. You have Jesus, who is all God and all man. You have us, who is all man. And then you have Satan. And I had never really thought about it this way. In my mind, oddly enough, I know it's probably kind of strange and everybody looks at things differently, but kind of looked at Satan as another man. But he's not. He was an angel. He is part of the spirit realm. And so you see how that factors into all of this also. So when we look at this battle of life, when we look at things in life, there's a lot of moving parts. We cannot win in our flesh. We can't. The flesh will tell you every day and every night it will try to do better, and it will fail every day and every night. It will not come through for us. These old habits, if we're not careful, and you think about maybe the lifestyle before salvation, what it was like, and maybe some of the habits that you may have picked up then after salvation, did you ever try to break those? Or did you try to justify those? And here's the thing, you say, well, I quit my drinking, I quit my smoking, I quit my this and I quit my that. But what about those private sins, those sins that nobody else knows about but God? What about those things that's just between you and him that nobody else knows about? The inner fight, the inner battle. You know, I honestly thought, I'm serious, Brother Norman, I thought this, and I remember years ago thinking about this, I thought as a person got older, and I've said this before, but that things got easier, but I believe it just gets even harder. And I can tell you, if you don't check your flesh, if you don't jump on that thing as soon as you can and put it in check, it's just going to get worse. There is still a battle going on. It's not going to ease up. And as we get older, if we don't take care of things, if we don't really try to stay in there for the Lord, as we get older, we're going to get colder. You can drift away. And you can get complacent and think, well, you know, I know that we're not perfect and in this flesh we're not going to be. But that's not honoring God. I've really been thinking a lot about what Brother Finley said on Sunday. That's been in my mind and in my heart ever since then. And thinking about being cold or thinking about being distant. What would keep me from being as close to God as I want to be? And it's me. It's my sin. It's things that I don't try to deal with or things that I wouldn't handle. It's not you. You couldn't keep me from being close to God. That's a personal relationship. See, the priest is out of the picture. There's no man in between. It's us and him. But if we look at this and we look at these verses and we put these things together and we see who Jesus is, what he did, why he did what he did, and the opposition that he was against at the time he was against it, and what we're against. You see, Jesus, when he came down in the flesh, he's still all God. He's still spirit. See, we're flesh all the time. I mean, on this side of eternity, this is what we've got to look forward to, this battle. I mean, that is exactly how it is. So keep these things in mind tonight as we go through this, these verses tonight. Verse number 4, 1 John 3, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not, or sinneth, hath not seen him. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Josh, will you lead us to the Lord in prayer? Appreciate that tonight. We see here in verse number 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Transgression is a violation of the law. When I was a lost person, I didn't understand what those transgressions were. Sometimes I would feel conviction, sometimes I would feel bad, but you know, there is a moral compass, and I think that greatly varies from person to person, but I think there's an inner moral compass within inside people that would say, you know, I shouldn't do this or I should do this, even before they're saved, even before they've accepted Christ. However small or however great that is, I've seen some very moral people who later find out that they're not saved. And you'd think, well, there's some things there. You would think that they were, but they were moral, but they were not saved. They were not sanctified. They were not set aside by God. They had morals about them, which is a fine thing, but not moral people go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. That's how that works. But I was looking at this from what it was like before I was saved. I didn't know any better. I didn't see things, but just one way, very naive. The light was off. When the Bible talks about living in darkness, when I look back at that time, that was a very dark time for me. I was afraid a lot of the times, and I was worried. When I started getting to the age of accountability, I was worried that I was going to die, or I was worried that the Lord was going to come back and I was going to not go to heaven, and those things were in my mind constantly. But when I think about what life was like and how the flesh was, it just kind of had free reign for the most part. For many years. And as a person gets older, if it's later in life that they are saved, then how embedded are they in the flesh or in things, in bad habits? And if I've heard people say, and I've seen it, I used to smoke, and you know, the Lord took that away from me wholeheartedly. There was times I tried to quit and couldn't, but when he took it away, he took it away. And I thank God for that. I've seen that happen. But you know, there's other things that the flesh just does not want to let go of. If it was easy, everybody would be successful in their walk with Christ. Is that not so? Well, would you not agree there's a battle? My battle might not be your battle. It could be different. People talk and things, and I understand we're different. We all face things, but there's different things. But we see here the transgression is the violation of the law. We know and we understand that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What we see here in verse number 5 is, ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So again, Jesus, he's all God and he's all man. He's a very special person. There's nobody else like him. There's only one Jesus. And you have to know him. I tell you, he is so special to us tonight that we don't even realize. You think about what he did, how he endured temptation. He went through the cross just so we could have victory, just like we're saying tonight, just so we could have victory with him. That's love. That's going the distance for somebody. And he was all God, he is all God and all man, and he was manifest. You know, if Jesus didn't come to this earth in the form that he did, who he was, we wouldn't know who God is. How would you explain God to somebody if Jesus wasn't here as the example for us to look at? How would you explain God? But when you see Jesus, what this means here, and ye know that he was manifested. Manifested means plain, open, clearly visible to the eye, or obvious to the understanding. Jesus made God obvious. Jesus made God's love obvious to us. When we saw what Jesus did on the cross, nobody else has ever done that or could ever do that for you and I. God made that obvious to you and I. He made it plain. He made it open. And you know what it says here in John 1:18? It says, no man hath seen God at any time. None of us. What does God look like? Well, the closest thing, the only thing we have is Jesus. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared Him. Jesus has made God known. That's why we know Him. That's our proof. That's our proof that the Bible is real. That's the proof of our truth that we have. Jesus fulfilled it. He came and fulfilled that part for us. God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. This is talking about that spiritual realm. The flesh has no place in it. The flesh has no victory in it. If you try to, and I'm telling you, I've got up in the morning. I'm a morning person. As much as I try to be, not so much before the coffee. I'll be honest with you there. The coffee kind of helps that morning person along a little bit. But I've seen it like this. I've gone through a day, and by the time night has rolled in, going to bed and praying at night, a lot of times things are very heavy on my mind at night. And sometimes discouraging, sometimes how are we going to fix this? How is this going to work out? What do we need to do? And it's an amazing thing to go to sleep and wake up in the morning, not always, but most often, all that weight was kind of like, you know, that's not so bad. That wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I mean, I know yesterday it felt devastating and it felt heavy, but this morning it doesn't feel that bad. It's a new day. Praise God for a new day. And we see that what He gives to us here, and we know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him was no sin. We see how the Lord answers our prayers and how He takes care of us on a daily basis. And there's times I get up in the morning and I say, you know what? I'm going to do as good as I can today. I'm going to try to do the best I can today. I know this might sound frivolous. I know it might sound ridiculous. It might sound fruitless. But anybody else feel that way? Anybody else say, you know what? I want to live today the best I can for the Lord. If we're not careful, it doesn't take any time at all that we start trying to do that in the flesh and not in the spirit. I'm afraid a lot of times, and I'm talking about myself, just being honest, a lot of times I've tried to approach spiritual battles with the flesh and very defeated afterwards. It cannot win. You see this battle that's going on here. We'll go a little bit deeper into this. But God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For man to see God, Jesus had to come down. And to know God, you must know Jesus. You don't know God if you don't know Jesus. There's no other way. And why He came, Jesus came to save us from our sin so we could have that relationship, so we could be close with God. It's a spiritual warfare. And again, remember, Satan is not a man. He's a spirit. He attacks at our weakest points. If you look at, let's go to Matthew chapter number 4. I want us to look at that for just a minute. This is very telling. We see on the cross what Jesus' body went through, what His flesh went through. It had to be sacrificed. It had to be completely killed. It had to be completely done away with. At whose hands? Was it at Satan's hands? Verse number one in chapter 4, look at what we see here. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit, capital S. Who led Jesus to be tempted? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You see, for God's plan to go through as it was supposed to go through, Jesus had to be tempted in His flesh. He had to be tried in His flesh. He had to face things that you and I face. He was tempted. He was tried. The devil tried to appeal to his pride, appeal to his desires. He tried to appeal to his flesh. You see, at no other time do I see really that Satan has any chance. any opportunity to get at Jesus. I've not read it anywhere else like this. You know, he goes up to and fro accusing the brethren, accusing us. He gets at us. But when did he go at Jesus? Not when Jesus was in heaven, but when Jesus was in this earth and when Jesus was in this flesh. That's what he attacked. You're talking about a spiritual warfare, and you're talking about Satan attacking the flesh. And you see, you can go through and read. I've read this not too long ago, but you can read and see what it's talking about there, where he was hungry because he had fasted to pray and he was hungry. And he tried to tempt him with food. He tried to tempt him with things. Now, let me say to you, a saved person who has not sacrificed their flesh, what is Satan going to come after you with? The very thing you've not laid down. The very thing that you've not taken care of. And I know there's battles, and I know there's things in life, and I know there's mess-ups, but I think if we're not careful, there's things in our life that was going on before salvation. If we've not sacrificed the flesh like we're supposed to, that stuff is going to linger right on. It's a daily battle. Are you willing to fully lay it down? We see in Matthew 26 and verse 41, we see what is said here. It says, "Watch and pray." This is Jesus talking to the disciples. "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." See, that is on the front end of it. That's waking up on the front end and praying. Just like I was saying there in the morning, waking up on the front end and being prepared and praying. And saying, "Look, I know the devil's going to bring an attack. I know that he's going to use my flesh against me. I know that he is going to come at me." Pray and be watchful that you don't fall into temptation. That's what he was talking to his disciples about. And he said here, the spirit indeed is willing. That inner man wants to succeed. I believe that of every saved person. I believe that inner man is saying, let's be victorious today. Let's have victory in Jesus. Not victory in the flesh, because it's not going to happen. But the only way that we can do that is if we truly lay that down and give that to Christ, give that to God. That's the only way. I think sometimes we use the wrong weapons in this battle. We can't use fleshly weapons. You can see that in Ephesians, all through Ephesians. But you can't use a fleshly weapon to fight a spiritual battle. It says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I've never seen any battles like that, what you see with the flesh. It wants what it wants. You tell it no, it makes it worse. It's an amazing thing, and I tell you, the conditioning of the flesh, what goes on at a young age before a person accepts Christ, I think is very detrimental to a Christian walk. You say, where is all this coming from? Boy, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why do you think Satan wants to get at our young people so early with things? With confusion. With different things that's going on. To get things in their mind at a young age. That just makes the entire process of salvation and living a spiritual life that much harder. See, if we don't sacrifice our flesh, those things that's kind of hanging out there a little bit, we start trying to justify those things. You look at the things that are going on in this day and time that I think were not so obvious when most of us, and I know I'm younger, but when you were younger, when I was younger, wasn't so obvious as they are today. Why? Why is it like that? You see how Satan is throwing things out younger and younger at our young people. The flesh is weak. We see here in verse number 6. It says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not hath whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. What's that talking about? It's talking about the inner man. We know the flesh is sinful. We know that. He's talking about this inner man. I think sometimes when people start to struggle with if they're saved or not, it's because of the lifestyle that they're living, when they're looking for a surety. Sometimes people struggle with their salvation. I think I got it. I don't know if I got it. I feel it today. I don't feel it tomorrow. Well, what's the lifestyle look like? One of the best examples that I can use is the prodigal son. We give him a lot down the road. We do. Because he started out right, seemingly, and then he left and made a wreck out of things, but here's the thing about him. He came back. He came back. A person that is saved cannot continue living in sin and be okay with it. It will bother you somewhere. It will catch up with you somewhere. It will affect you. Your relationship will be affected. But he came back. It's thinking about things also, just looking at some examples. And it was kind of interesting, and I did a little test today because I was thinking about this message about the unregenerate man versus the regenerate man. And it's amazing how Satan uses things to pull at our minds. And he does. Preacher Carl, man, he preached on music a lot. You probably heard that. I remember when I was younger, he preached against certain music and what have you. And I think we've all heard that. But when I was younger, I was so naive that I didn't really think anything about it, Brother Bill. I didn't. Most of the time, I didn't really even know what the words were. It was kind of a catchy tune. It was kind of catchy, you know. And that was kind of interesting. It was kind of upbeat. And it's like, wow, that's kind of neat, you know. And I came through about the time that heavy metal was kind of in there. And then it kind of switched over into rap and all that kind of stuff. And so it was kind of like all this kind of different music. And most often, I didn't even know what the words were. And then when I started learning what those words were, I was like, man, that's not good. But how was it delivered? If you look back at the beginning of the Bible, you look at Genesis primarily, you see a lot of it is set in to rhythm or to a rhyme. You look at how it's written. And when we as people, as we learn things, if it's set to maybe a poem or if it has rhyming cadences to it, we can memorize that. Now, when you look at songs a lot today, or when I was growing up, and I didn't realize it, it was absolutely amazing how much I could remember. Just because you just hear it over and over and over. It's a rhyme. And you just hear it over and over. And what was so interesting about this, and the reason I bring this up, is I could take you back probably close to the first time I heard that song, who I was running with when that song was playing, what was going on in my life when that was playing. If you don't think these things affect us, they do. They have a part in our life. We can say some of these things don't matter or what have you, but it's amazing how all of these things are being used. Our senses, what we see. You know, you can't unsee things. You think about the unregenerate man and things that was seen and things like that, you know. Satan likes to throw that stuff back up. He'll use that. Things that were heard. I'll tell you this. It's interesting. Brandy, she wanted to get a smoothie the other day. So we went and got a mango smoothie. We started drinking it, and Brother Norman, I was like, man, I don't know if it necessarily tastes like mango, but it tastes like something I've had before. It tasted like something I've had before. And the more I drank it, I was like, you know, it almost tastes like pear. And I said, it tastes like baby food. Sister Karen, it tastes like baby food. I said, that tastes like Gerber pear baby food. And I could smell it. And you know where my mind went? Bob Away Daycare. Sitting there. With my daycare teacher. Is that not amazing? I mean, that's something I hadn't thought about in forever. An old movie came on, and the preview was playing. And me and Brandy were just kind of, we were just running through the lyrics of the movie. And Josh said, how many times did you watch that? I said, that was a big movie when I was growing up. He's like, my goodness. But I want to say all that to say that's how things are. That's how we are. You can go back to that time and that place. I'm not trying to be confusing tonight, but what I'm saying is the devil will use things and pull things and put things in your mind, and you can go right back to that time. And it made me think about that. It caused me to think about the unregenerate man and what how he lived and what that was like versus what it's like to be saved. versus what it's supposed to be like, how we should actually be. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I got a long way to go. But again, we'll back here in verse number 6, it says, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." He's talking about that inner man. He's saying, verse number 7, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Again, taking a look on the inside, looking at the inner man, not just for yourself, for our own sake, but for others. Not that you're not going to be misled. It's talking about false teaching. That a person wouldn't be misled by following somebody that they shouldn't follow. A saved person simply cannot have peace living in sin, and a lost person lacks that inner dwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's the difference in being guided. Verse number 7, it says here, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteousness, even as he is righteousness." It's talking about obedience. The guidance of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there's a disconnect there. You're not being guided by him. Verse number 8, it says here, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's what Jesus did when he came to the cross. Again, talking about verse number 5, when he was manifested, that's what he came to do. That was his mission and his goal. He knew what the spiritual battle was like. He came and he did that for us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4, and I'll close there tonight. Ephesians number 4. Not trying to be confusing tonight or anything like that. I know I'm probably been all over the place, but I've done a lot of self-examination through this study. Learning a lot more about myself, learning a lot more about my Savior, and I hope and pray that each of us can say that also. I want nothing more than for us to have the relationship with Christ that He wants us to have. That's an easy thing to say, but I tell you, it's a lot deeper sometimes, and there's some moving parts to it. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This is talking about the relation to the former life. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling," you see that conditioning of the flesh, "being past feeling, have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have seen him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true and holiness. Wherefore putting away," talking about all these different things, these traits, putting these things away. Why would the Bible talk about that? It knows even after salvation a person is supposed to put these things away, but the flesh doesn't want you to. "Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil," neither give any place to him is what he's telling us here. Don't give any ground, do not allow your flesh to give in or give any ground to the devil. He'll take it and he'll use it. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. What he did on the cross, that's why we are forgiven, because of what Jesus did for us. As I close, I want to leave this thought with you tonight. It's a table's turning, and I thought this was kind of interesting, thinking about the spirit of Antichrist. We were talking about that last week. The spirit of Antichrist is when Satan, the spirit of Satan, interdwells a mortal man in the flesh. You see, right now, Satan is a spirit. He's an angel. But as the Antichrist, he is going to interdwell a man. And made me think about how Jesus, God came down and interdwelled in Jesus. All God, all man. And now we're going to see Satan do this at the end as the Antichrist, because he tries to replicate God. He tries to replicate everything he does. He wants to bring on the battle and conquer once and for all. But the interesting thing about this is how the tables turn on him. Where Jesus was victorious, Satan will not be. I thought that was a very interesting thing I'd never really seen before, and just wanted to share that with you tonight. But I appreciate your good attention. We'll close there, and I hope I wasn't too all over the place. A lot of different things on my mind and in this study and thinking about it, just praying that the Lord will bring it out. But we will have a time of prayer tonight, and I'll ask if there's anything on anyone's heart tonight before we pray. Amen. Just remember that.